welcome again to All In with the Saints with myself, Jake Seely, and Bobby McMahon. As always, before we get started, if you want to see us ask or answer any of your questions that you ask, you can hit us at Twitter, at AllInKid for myself, at Hello on Bobby for Bobby. We'll get to any topics you want us to talk about on this weekly podcast that we'll be having, again, three times a week just to refresh your memory. Today we're talking wide receivers. Next week we're going to do some preseason recaps, defenses, and such. And then once the regular season rolls around, we'll be full swing talking about the recaps, looking a week ahead to the weekend, what's coming up, and just basically a nice little wrap-up for you every single Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's the plan going forward. It didn't come together so well the first week, but that's the plan going forward. So we're talking receivers tonight. Are you ready, Bobby? Because I feel like this year it is deeper than it has ever been before.
Yeah, I'm ready. We have a lot to talk about. There's definitely, obviously, plenty of talent at the top, and then all the way through when you get down to talking deep sleepers. There's just so many names, so let's just hop right into it.
Yeah, and of course, we'll kick it off and start right with the Saints. There's plenty of options here, as has been pretty much the topic so far, is every time we talk about position, we can talk about Saints players. There's tons of upside in that offense. I think it all begins and ends, obviously, with Marcus Colston. When he's on the field and 100% healthy, as he's been at times, I really think not only is he a wide receiver too, obviously, that's not a question. I really think that he's somewhat undervalued right now because a lot of people are looking at him and concerned about he's hit 30 years old, which actually isn't as old if you talk about the wide receivers. That's kind of more of a running back age than anything. So people are worried about the fact that he's 31, so he's past that 30-year threshold, and that this might be the downside of his career, but I don't think that's the case at all. If anything, I think that as okay as last season was because he finished 27th, I think he can improve on that and hit the wide receiver two numbers again. All he's got to do is play 16 games because Drew Brees and that offense is going to be passing the ball a plenty, and Marcus Colston is going to be a big part of it, as he always is.
Absolutely, yeah. Marcus Colston, he's a key cog in that offense in the passing game. 6'4", so he's a great target. Obviously, with Jimmy Graham already a massive red zone target, they have two guys right there that are capable of putting up double-digit touchdowns. And I agree with you that Marcus Colston's somewhat undervalued this year. Last year, a little bit of an off year, but really for any other receiver, just about in the game, save for the, Marcus Colston and some of the elite guys, 943 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 75 catches. Not really that bad, folks. So it's, and he's got upside from there. I think he gets back over 1,000 yards this year. I think he scores more than 5 touchdowns. So yeah, he's just one of those consistent guys that I think you can get as a value pick. After all of some of the larger names are off the board, Colston's a guy you could pull the trigger on.
And as a side note to it, this isn't being a homer for the Saints or just anything in general. The fact is, it's hard to think about another seventh rounder, and obviously there's going to be a few out there you could probably name off the top of your head. Some Hall of Famers are on their way to the Hall of Famer, but at wide receiver, a seventh-round wide receiver that has done what Colston has done, it's honestly pretty impressive.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so impressive. I mean, just if you look at the body of his career, it's just every year is just he's super consistent. And when I draft for fantasy, I obviously love upside, and we'll talk about some guys on the Saints in the next few minutes that have tons of upside. But you also want consistency, and that's what Colston brings to the table.
Yeah, and we'll go right with it. Like you said, the upside. You talk about the next two receivers down on this chart. Yeah, Kenny Stills, who we saw flashes of last year, and he was actually the 47th best receiver, and that was just on 50 targets and 32 receptions. He only caught 32 balls, but was the 47th. He was a wide receiver 4. Basically, he provided value throughout the season and filled in where you needed him because all it took was 32 receptions, getting 20 yards per catch from Drew Brees just to show what he could do. And it was, of course, the 5 touchdowns. But even if he put those numbers, even if he did no better, which he's going to do better, even if he did no better, you're still talking about somebody who's a wide receiver 4 and needs to be owned in all your leagues. Yet, the second guy we'll talk about here in a second, Brandon Cooks, and you can talk about both of them too, is Brandon Cooks is going ahead of him. He has an ADP of 123.9 right now on NFL.com. Cooks is 123.9. This is a rookie, and I love his potential. So much potential. He's going to fill that Darren Sproles role a little bit because he's smaller. He's got tons of after the catch ability. But if you look at Stills, 148.3. He's in his second season. He's the guy that's on the field with Marcus Colston in the two wide receiver sets. And I love Cooks, but honestly, I want them both. I'd be happy to get both of them on my team, honestly. But if I'm going pure value, as much as I love Stills and Cooks, I think Stills presents the better value in drafts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wouldn't be surprised if in some drafts you'd be able to get them later than the 10th, 11th round. You know, obviously speed to burn with both of these guys, Stills and Cooks. I think Cooks is going to be more of your PPR asset. You know, I could see him having some really, really nice games where he racks up a ton of catches in that Lance Moore type of role. Kenny Stills, they're going to take shots with this guy down the field. They love to do that in this offense, really open things up, and he's a field stretcher. So, you know, they're definitely going to take their fair share of shots and try and hit the home run with Kenny Stills. But, yeah, Brandon Cooks, obviously, you know, he's a smaller guy, but, you know, very thickly built. Speed, again, just as Kenny Stills has speed, Brandon Cooks has speed. I'd love to see those two in a race because, you know, they're both two of the fastest receivers. I mean, drafting Cooks is just bringing up the level of potential for this offense tremendously.
And I agree with you completely. I think what helps Cooks is maybe if you're in a PPR league, because I could actually see Stills and Cooks posting very similar yardage and touchdown numbers, but I think that Stills is going to have the much higher yards per catch, and Cooks is going to be the higher PPR asset, where Cooks could probably, I would safely bet on Cooks catching 60 to 70 passes, and I think that Stills is more in that 50 to 60 range, again, both having similar numbers, though, in yards and touchdowns.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's why, like you said, you want them both. Value-wise, Kenny Stills can be had a little bit later on, but you know, there might be some drafts out there that you guys are participating in that Brandon Cooks is, you know, flying under the radar a little bit now. If it's all Saints fans, it's probably not.
No.
But if you're playing with anyone outside New Orleans, you might be able to get some good value on both of these guys.
Yeah, and of course, I think we talked about before, Drew Brees over the past couple seasons averaging 659 pass attempts. So there's going to be plenty, even though there's only one ball to go around during the game, there's plenty of passes that'll be going their way. And deeper, actually, I would say best ball leagues, I would really take a flyer on Nick Toon, because all it's going to take is an opportunity with Drew Brees and that offense. If he gets out there for a couple games or two where, you know, maybe you know, there's an injury unforeseen, and just hopefully that doesn't happen. It doesn't come to that. But if Nick Toon gets his opportunity on the field, he's going to post those kind of weeks where, in a best ball format, where it just takes your best scores and puts him into your roster for you, which is really fun because it's kind of a set it and forget it with the Ronco Popeil thing type of thing. It's just you draft and you're done. You just sit back and enjoy what you did. It really tests your draft skills, really. But Toon could put up some, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks where you basically are going to get him for little to no cost at all because he's undrafted right now. But then you got a 2 or 3 weeks of value for nothing, really.
Absolutely. I like Nick Toon. I think he's a well-built receiver in the mold of a Marcus Colston, where he can kind of move the chains and be that nice possession receiver, a nice asset in the red zone. Another guy, we're talking injuries, a guy who is maybe a little bit further on the depth chart, but made some noise a couple weeks ago, Joe Morgan, obviously tore his ACL last year. So that was a bit of a bummer. But he impressed in 2012. You know, he had some long touchdowns there, a little bit of a very deep sleeper type of guy. But Joe Morgan, again, you know, Stills, Cooks, Morgan, they all have just blazing speed. So, you know, if a guy goes down or you know, misses some plays, I feel like Morgan can step in for Stills and make some plays, and this offense wouldn't miss a beat.
That's the thing about this offense. We talked about running backs earlier this week and now wide receivers. It just feels like there's always options. You always got somebody, no matter what. But talking about the rest of the league, obviously, you know, there's no question we got the Calvin Johnson at the top. And then the next, in my opinion, I'd say 6 wide receivers. I wouldn't be surprised if they finished anywhere from number 2 all the way to number 8. Actually, even number 9. I'll even throw Antonio Brown in there. And I'm not just talking about PPR. I think that his perceived value in PPR overshadows the fact that even catches are catches, man. You're not getting the point per reception, but it's still going to rack up those yards and touchdowns for Antonio Brown where, you know, 1,200 yards, you're still talking about a top 10 wide receiver. So, you know, I have Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, Julio Jones, Brandon Marshall, A.J. Green, Jordy Nelson, Alshon Jeffrey, and Antonio Brown. And like I said, would you really be surprised if I just completely reversed that order come the end of the season or you just threw them all in a hat and drew names out?
Yeah, exactly. You could pretty much do that. And honestly, I think, you know, Calvin Johnson has been the premier guy, but there's a bunch of guys knocking on his door right now, Demaryius Thomas and Dez and A.J. Green, who's crazy to think that he might be one of those guys that's a value pick at the end of the first or beginning of the second round for a guy like A.J. Green, who still has just otherworldly upside. But yeah, any of those guys, you know, Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey both have room to eat on the same offense. You know, they're both put up wide receiver one numbers and should do it again this year. Same with Jordy Nelson and then a guy who's, you know, maybe a tier away, a couple people away is Randall Cobb. And I think both of them have potential to put up wide receiver one numbers this year.
Yeah, I think Cobb is kind of on that. He's that next tier down, but he's the first guy on my list on that next tier down just because he definitely could put up the wide receiver one numbers. I just think between him and Jordy Nelson, it is Jordy, and then it's a possibility for Cobb. But he's going to be at least a wide receiver too anyway, so you're not really complaining too much. But in that same group, you know, at number 11, I have Keenan Allen, and maybe you can talk or you shed some light on it, but if you agree, then you're not really going to be able to. I don't get the downside with him. I don't understand what everybody is worried about. You're talking about somebody who barely played at the beginning of the season because the people in front of him, plus he was coming off his injury, which knocked down his draft stock, and there was look, he probably had the most talent of any receiver in the draft, but it was all the injuries and the concerns there of why he fell. But he proved that talent was real because him and Phillip Rivers were amazing. And honestly, if you look at his numbers, once he finally got on track and starting, they were top five numbers. And I don't see any reason to think that it's not going to happen. I don't get it. I think everybody's scared maybe that Wisenhunt's leaving and that was the real big change in Phillip Rivers. But I don't see why Phillip Rivers would just all of a sudden say, oh, I forgot how to play good last year.
Yeah, no, I actually agree with you. I think – you know, you miss out on one of these big receivers, say you go running back, and you miss out on these guys for whatever reason. I think Keenan, I'm more than happy to roll with him as my wide receiver one this year. I love what he could do. He's only 22 years old, had a big year last year. You know, like you said, it took him a couple weeks to get going, but once he did, he didn't look back. You know, he was a guaranteed start every week, and I actually see him improving this year. You know, maybe his upside isn't as high as someone like Alshon Jeffrey in a way, but I mean, he's the number one target there, and there, you know, there's no one else even close when you're talking about targets. Obviously, the veteran Antonio Gates is there. We love Ladarius Green. But Keenan Allen, it could take a step forward off of last year's numbers. So, yeah, he needs to be getting more love, and he's not, which is great news for you guys out there who are drafting. You might be able to pay attention and get a value.
Yeah, I think definitely he's turned into a great value, in my opinion, because of what he can do, and he's not costing you that one wide receiver one value draft pick like an Antonio Brown or a Cobb or, you know, even actually, and the next guy who's been moving up, and I'm ready to hear the virtual boos and hisses when I mention his name. But Roddy White, if you look at what he's done, I actually think he's being undervalued too. And he's starting to move back up draft boards, probably because of Hard Knocks and all the attention that's getting. And it's helping people realize we're talking about somebody who is a top 10 wide receiver five straight years from 2008 to 2012, got hurt for really the first time in his career. And a lot of people are going to put and say, well, it's not only he's hurt, he's on the downside of his career, but Tony Gonzalez is gone. Matt Ryan is going to be passing a ton. The Falcons do pass a ton. They're one of the highest pass offenses teams in the league, similar to the Saints, but they don't have the balance that the Saints do. They just love to pass. And Roddy White is borderline wide receiver one, in my opinion, and somebody who I think that if you can swallow it, and this is the same thing because I tell people when you play fantasy football, you can't be a fan when you're drafting your team because you're going to miss out on value. This is where you have to say it stinks to root for somebody from a different team, and maybe you can trade him after a week or two, and he does really good, and then you can move on from him, and so you don't have to worry about rooting for him. But Roddy White, I really think deserves to be on that cusp of the Keenan Allen, Pierre Garçon, Randall Cobb, Vincent Jackson, like that range, and right now he's going as a low wide receiver too.
Yeah, that's the beauty of drafting Roddy White this year is some people will look at the numbers from last year, remember the struggles at the beginning of the season with Roddy White when he was dealing with that ankle injury and trying to play through it, and avoid him in drafts. And I think he's an excellent pickup this year. I think he's going to be back. Maybe not to the 1,300 yard level with the 90 to 100 catches, which has been, customary Roddy White, but he's going to put up big numbers again. And if you get him as your wide receiver too, you're going to be plenty happy with that. And to get him in the fourth, even the fifth round in some drafts, I mean, that's practically a steal. Roddy White, excellent value pick this year.
Yeah, I'll give you. If I said 80 to 90 catches, 1,100 yards, and 6 or 7 touchdowns, you think that's pretty reasonable?
Oh yeah, I think that's well within reach for Roddy White this year.
Yeah, and I think that would put him at least at high wide receiver two value on the cusp of wide receiver one. So, like I said, swallow and enjoy what he can do for your fantasy team. Or like I said, maybe he starts off hot and then you can trade him and you don't have to worry about rooting for him. That's always the nice thing. But the other guys I mentioned, Pierre Garçon, Vincent Jackson, we really kind of know what they do. I think Vincent Jackson is being a little undervalued too. Is I don't understand. Maybe people are worried about the quarterback situation, Mike Evans taking some attention away. But I think having a legitimate receiver like Mike Evans, even as a rookie, as a great red zone threat, they've basically got a forest out there because you got Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans, and then Seffrin Jenkins, all three of them 6'5", just giant, just chuck the ball up when you get into the red zone. They're going to be enjoying that red zone wise. But after them, if Victor Cruz, Andre Johnson in that conversation, there's concerns with the Giants and Victor Cruz, and that offense hasn't been clicking well in the preseason. They say they're hiding some things, and it will be on track when it comes to around week one, and hopefully Ben McAdoo does do really good things for that offense and Victor Cruz. But of those guys, if I miss out, because we already established Roddy White's a value, if I miss out and then I'm sitting there looking at Garcon, Jackson, Cruz, and Johnson, I'm probably going to wait and then grab somebody like Michael Floyd, who I think could actually surpass Larry Fitzgerald this year in Arizona.
Yeah, Michael Floyd's one of my favorite kind of guys that I think making that Alshon Jeffrey type of leap. He's certainly got that talent. He's got the established number one receiver ahead of him that's going to take some of the pressure off of him. And he put up good numbers last year. He actually had more receiving yards than Larry Fitzgerald last year. But Fitzgerald obviously scored a bulk of the touchdowns there. But yeah, I look for Michael Floyd. He's one of those guys. I think you should be happier than anything if you get him as your wide receiver three, which I've actually done in a couple drafts, and I've been ecstatic about it. But even as your wide receiver two, if you end up waiting a couple rounds or missing out on a couple of these guys, like Jake said, Michael Floyd just has that potential to really, really blow up. I think he's got, a pretty high floor with 900 to 1,000 yards, and if everything clicks, we could be talking 1,200 to 1,300 yards.
I think that's definitely a realistic shot. I loved his talent coming out of Notre Dame, and really it just was the opportunity, and it starts to look like we might be having a change of the guard there. But out of this next group, and obviously your rankings are going to differ a little bit from mine, but I'm just going to run through kind of this group of guys because there's one specifically I do want to talk about. And if you want to talk about him too or hit on somebody different in this group, that's fine. But basically, I have like Cordarrelle Patterson, Percy Harvin, Mike Wallace. He's not actually the one I was going to talk about, but I think Mike Wallace is being undervalued too, because as I just mentioned, when I put him there, that's 21 for me. He's not going there in drafts right now. His ADP is much lower than that. It's actually close to the wide receiver three range. And I think Tannehill and him finally get a little bit more comfort together, because Tannehill missed him quite a few times. The game that they could have won when he would have just thrown it over the different shoulder, it's a perfect example. They just need more time to get on the same page, and it looks like that's a potential. Plus, he can run the deep ball like few others, and they kind of asked him to do a little bit too much differently last year. So I think that he's a value pick. But Wes Welker, Torrey Smith, Crabtree, T.Y. Hilton, and then Kendall Wright was the one I wanted to talk about, because everybody seems to be down on him because they say he didn't score touchdowns. My point is he's still going to catch 90-plus passes. He's still going to top 1,000 yards. And At worst, he catches only two touchdowns again. So, okay, what? He's basically a wide receiver too. If he doesn't improve his touchdowns, you have to think he's going to score more than two touchdowns this year.
Absolutely, yeah. Coming out of Baylor, I liked his prospects, and even in his rookie year, he scored four touchdowns. So I mean, the potential is there for him. He's a target monster. He could certainly go roll over 100 receptions this year, and I think his yardage total improves because he only averaged 11.5 a catch last year, and I think that could go up. A very, very solid possession receiver, especially in PPR. In a PPR, if he's my number two, I'm definitely very comfortable with that because, again, much like Marcus Colston, like we talk about, you want some of those consistent guys. You want to mix in the upside and the consistency, and Kendall Wright brings that consistency and the upside as well.
Right. And if you look at last year, 30th receiver with only two touchdowns, you add in two, that jumps him all the way up to wide receiver 24. That makes him a wide receiver too. Just two more touchdowns is all it takes. You can give him the exact same receiving numbers and yardage, and that bumps him up. But like you said, PPR, I've got him actually as my second wide receiver in a lot of PPR. One league, I have him as my third, and I'm just grinning from ear to ear in that one because 90-plus catches, I think, is a lock for him. Anybody, before I move on to like a next group of guys, anybody from that you wanted to talk about differently, or you just love the Kendall Wright thing too?
No, I'm with you on Kendall Wright, and actually Wallace I see as a value. I'd prefer him as my third because I do think there are some, those games where he goes off and has huge games, but then those games where, he maybe only catches three or four passes for 40 yards. But Tannehill's definitely has the arm to take advantage of him, and I think Bill Lazor will open things up a little bit for that offense. So I'm interested to see what he can do, and also Cordarrelle Patterson. All the talent is there for him. Again, it's finding the consistency, getting the regular touches in that offense, and who's going to be throwing him the ball. But certainly a lot of upside when it comes to Patterson.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I won't run through like this whole next group, but we can just talk about different people because I'm sure you have guys that you want to talk about too. One who I think is being underrated in drafts as well. This is another guy, and that's kind of seems to be the theme for today. But that's what you want to do. You want to find the value in your drafts. Is Eric Decker, and I think the big concern is he's going from Peyton Manning to basically anything that's not Peyton Manning outside of Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. If you go away from one of those three quarterbacks, it's not the same, and that's what everybody's scared about. But we're talking about somebody who's going to be the focal point of that offense. And even if you talk about not Peyton Manning, not Drew Brees passing numbers, you're still talking about somebody who's probably going to see 20 to 25% of the targets. And just the volume alone, I think Eric Decker is a rock solid wide receiver three. And I love the fact that people are concerned and letting him slip into the wide receiver four range. And then one other one from this group that I have, at least on my page, and then we'll bounce back to you and forth, is I really think that Terrence Williams takes a step forward for the Cowboys this year. And the Cowboys are going to be passing a ton. That's another one similar to the Falcons that are going to be passing a lot this year. At least somewhat more of a running balance now that they have a new coaching staff there and probably a change, but they're still going to be passing plenty. Tony Romo is pretty much a lock for 4,000 plus yards and 30 touchdowns, somewhere around there. So it's Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, and now that Terrence Williams has that opportunity, he's going to be the one that's going to be involved in that three-headed monster for the passing game.
Yeah, you've hit on two guys that I really am a big fan of. Terrence Williams, I'm getting him in a lot of drafts as my third wide receiver, and I love it. I just love the potential in that Cowboys offense for him. Not only to be a deep threat, I think he can actually develop into more than that. But for that offense, they're not going to be able to contain him when defenses are focusing on Jason Witten over the middle and Dez Bryant all over, wherever he is on the field. So and then when you add in DeMarco Murray from the backfield, I think that Terrence Williams is going to be able to run free downfield. And, as long as Romo's deep ball's back, I think there's a big season ahead for Terrence Williams. We saw what he could do in the middle of his rookie season when he put up those impressive weeks right in a row with Miles Austin out. So love that call. And actually on your preview on NewOrleansSaints.com, your fantasy football preview from an offensive standpoint, at the bottom of the article, my value pick at wide receiver is Eric Decker. I completely agree with you on that one. I love it. Obviously, it's definitely a drop going from Peyton Manning to either Geno Smith or Mike Vick, but the targets. I mean, when you look at it, Peyton Manning was had his choice of who he wanted to throw to any given play, any given week. It could have been Decker. He had a couple huge games, but a couple games where he's a little bit quiet, and some other players got some love. With the Jets, he is just like Kendall Wright. He's going to be a target monster. He's going to get the ball thrown to him a lot. And sure, there's a couple of them that are, maybe aren't going to get to him or underthrown, something like that. Doesn't matter. He is going to put up really good numbers. And if you can get him, like you said, if someone's drafting him as a wide receiver four, he's going to be putting up at least wide receiver three numbers with the Jets. I'm not shying away from him at all. One other guy I'd be curious to get your opinion on, because I see him going in this area, and I actually like him slightly more than both of these guys, is Torrey Smith from the Ravens. Obviously had a really nice year last year. And really, since he's come into the league, he's been impressive, and everyone's concern was, is he anything more than, that deep threat guy? And I think last year he showed that a little bit, got off to a great start, didn't put up the huge touchdown numbers, but definitely the yardage was, near 1,200 yards. And I think he could do something similar this year, and he's going in the wide receiver two, borderline wide receiver three range, which to me, I think is, something I'm willing to exploit in fantasy drafts.
Yeah, because a lot of people have the perception that that's all he is, the big play. And there are some games out there where he puts up the 150 yards on four catches, and then people kind of got that stigma with him that that's what he is, and if he doesn't get 30 yards a catch, that he's not going to put up a game, big game. But if you really look at what Torrey Smith has done, that's not very accurate. Torrey Smith could easily catch 70 passes for 1,000 yards this year, like he has, and have the consistency because he's getting the 70 catches. And the big play only helps. He'll win you some of those weeks because of those big games. So I think that people don't want to treat him as a wide receiver too, but he really is. And so I like the value you'll get from him. Moving a little bit further down, I love Golden Tate with the Lions now. If you look at what Tate did last year with the Seahawks, obviously as the number one, and he drew a lot of defensive attention out there, is now he gets to settle in and play alongside Mr. Calvin Johnson with Matthew Stafford throwing the ball. We're talking about, with me at least so far with these quarterbacks, I'm talking about guys who pass a lot. And if there's anybody that passes a lot, Matthew Stafford's another one of them. And really, if you look at what he could do with Golden Tate finally having a wide receiver you can trust, and they've had guys mix in there, but it's either injuries or other things have happened where they haven't had that consistent guy. I think Tate is a great fit, and we'll see some upside. And then one that I wasn't as high on because there was rookie struggles, and obviously that's going to happen with wide receivers in general. It seems to be outside tight end. It's tight end then wide receiver, in my opinion, that has the struggle to make a fantasy impact the fastest and learn things, and it just comes from playing at the NFL level. But Reuben Randle with the Giants, because Odell Beckham hasn't been able to get on the field, Randle's really had the opportunity to stay out there and stick out there in those two wide receiver threats sets. I said that before. I don't know why I keep going there. Threat set, it's kind of the same thing. And he's going to be the bigger red zone target, obviously, for the Giants than Victor Cruz. And because the Giants do have questions of what they're doing at tight end still, he's probably going to be the number one red zone target for Eli Manning and that offense. So I think Reuben Randle going in that wide receiver four range, because everybody remembers the difficulties they had last year, he's another guy presenting some good value that could finish with wide receiver three numbers.
Absolutely. Reuben Randle, still only 23 years old, even though this will be his third year. He's got 60 career catches. Nine have gone for touchdowns. So I definitely think he's kind of one of those sneaky picks that maybe ends up scoring 8 to 10 touchdowns this year. He's the only Giants receiver that's going to see regular playing time that's over 6 feet tall, and has very good ability when it comes to from the 20-yard in. And I think Eli's going to take advantage of that. For Reuben Randle, it's again, he's a value kind of guy that you're going to take as your four or five, and then you're hoping he takes that next step up and becomes one of the guys that you could start. So I love the Reuben Randle call, and we get into a couple wide receivers in that range. Another guy that I really like in his second year, DeAndre Hopkins, had the quietest 800 yards I've ever seen from a rookie. He's getting no hype this year. I don't know if it's QB concerns, which were there last year, or Andre Johnson obviously is a rock. He's so solid. When he's healthy and on the field, he's going to produce. And he's showed no signs of of age as he, you know, kind of gets into his mid-30s or approaching his mid-30s. But DeAndre Hopkins, we could start to see, you know, it's probably a year away from an Alshon Jeffrey Brandon Marshall type of split. But, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is a guy that I really like to take another step this year, be that 1,000-yard receiver, and then take another big step next year.
I do like DeAndre Hopkins. I liked him a lot coming out of college, so I'm on board with you, too. And that's the thing is, obviously, you're talking rookies here, but just in general, it's a way to find value, too, is you hear the term a lot in baseball, but it applies to football, too, is the post-hype sleeper. It's that the guy that everybody expected so much from didn't exactly come through, so there's the perception of he let everybody down, when, like you said, a perfect example here is the quietest 800 yards you've ever seen, and now he can really fulfill on the promise that everybody saw and produce tons of value because you're getting him at a discounted price. Like, a perfect example for this year might be Sammy Watkins, because he's going to be drawing so much of the defensive attention there. You know, E.J. Manuel is still trying to improve and play better with his situation. So if there's struggles as a rookie, which there probably will be, and he's already suffered a little bit of an injury, so whether or not he's getting that comfort level with Manuel is a whole other question. He's somebody for next year. And I don't know, we're talking about 2015. We haven't even started the 2014 season. But just the point being of, like a Hopkins, somebody that you think of as a post-type sleeper type of guy. And in that same range, only because of injury concern, I love the value that I'm getting here with him, and he's already back to playing. Cecil Shorts, look, the Jaguars, he's their number one wide receiver. Justin Blackmon is gone with the suspension concerns, and now he has to reapply for the league. And they have rookies behind him, one of them Allen Robinson, who's been suffering from his own injury problems, and Marquise Lee has been looking better, especially because he needs to work on his route running, and he's been doing a good job with that. He's improved a good deal from what we saw his senior year at USC, but Cecil Shorts is going to be the main option. He's going to be the main guy. He's probably going to see 120, 130 targets, and he's somebody who could lock you into a wide receiver 3, maybe even 2 in a PPR if he's out there for 16 games. Yet, we're talking about somebody in the – what was the last time I checked? Yeah, he's being drafted overall at 136th overall. Now, even in a 12-team league, you're getting him in the 11th round.
Yeah, that's excellent value for a guy with, you know, a solid track record of when he's on the field, he's producing and producing big plays like he did 2 years ago. You know, last year, obviously, there was a lot of things going on in Jacksonville offensively, but he's shown a good rapport with Chad Henne, and I'm sure he'll have the same thing with Blake Bortles if Blake, you know, earns that shot and gets some playing time this year. But yeah, I'm not shying away from Cecil Shorts at all in fantasy drafts. The thing is, you just don't have to draft him that early yet. Like you said, with his value, he's going in the later, you know, double-digit rounds. He's a guy that I think anywhere from the 10th to the 14th, depending on your league size and, you know, knowledge of your fellow owners, he's a guy flying under the radar. So you don't need to pop him in the 7th, 8th round, even though that's the kind of value he could return.
Definitely. All right. I'm going to throw a couple names out and you can kind of chime in on them. The first one, I love Doug Baldwin. I do not get why people aren't giving him more respect. If you look at where he finished last year, and that was with Golden Tate as number one, Percy Harvin is going to draw more defensive attention than Golden Tate did, which basically Baldwin at worst is going to repeat last season, and that was basically somebody you wanted on all of your rosters and all your leagues because he was more often than not a wide receiver 3, and even in the weeks that, you know, maybe he was only wide receiver 4 numbers, it was usually you could fill him in for a bye week. I do not get why people aren't giving him more respect. I'm drafting him as a wide receiver 4 in so many leagues. But the name, obviously, that I want to throw out to say, when are you willing to spend the draft risk, is Josh Gordon. If you're drafting today, we still haven't had a decision yet. There's anywhere from people saying the full season, they find a middle ground at 8 games. Some people are saying there's no way they keep him suspended when Ray Rice comes back for week 3 because the NFL doesn't want the fact that Ray Rice is coming back and Josh Gordon. So there's like all these different variables that you could have, 2, 8, 16 games. If you're drafting right now, when are you comfortable making that gamble?
Yeah, I'm comfortable anytime around the 9th, 10th round, depending on league size. If it's a 12-teamer, I might wait 10th, 11th round. you know, it really could be a difference maker for you. And if he's suspended for 8 games, like you said, it's up in the air right now. But say he's suspended for 8 games, you're going to get him for 7, and you know that with Josh Gordon, at least 5 of those are going to be huge. So you know you could probably pencil him right back into your starting lineup. But obviously, if he's suspended for the full season, you're going to drop him and go to the waiver wire and pick someone else up. But I think that's worth the risk at this point. There's an unknown. You're getting a discount on his value. If he plays any games this year, you're going to want him on your roster. So I'm definitely one of those guys that likes to gamble a little bit when it comes to the middle rounds. I think that's the time for it. I think Josh Gordon's one of those guys that, you know, he has the potential to win you your league. He's that good. And obviously, if he's not playing, you're going to cut him and pick up another guy off the waiver wire. So I'm certainly willing to take that risk on Gordon.
Okay. Now, your top – I'll let you even go first on this because I've been throwing out most of the names. Your top rookie wide receiver, in your opinion?
The guy that I think will put up the best numbers, I think I like Watkins a lot. I think Watkins, Evans are the two obvious names with Cooks in there. But the one guy I've really been drafting, and I think he's starting to creep up a little bit in the past couple of weeks, is Kelvin Benjamin. 6'5", 240, is just a massive target. Not much else going on there in Carolina, obviously some veteran presence. But I like what I've heard so far. I like everything I've seen so far from Kelvin Benjamin, and I think he's got a very, very nice upside. You know, obviously his red zone upside is obvious, but I think he might surprise people this year and put up really, really good numbers.
I think that I have an agreement with you. I think Watkins and Evans are in the conversation, but the opportunity, which a lot of times at the NFL level, it does mean a lot more. And for example, for like baseball, sometimes, you know, opportunity doesn't always mean everything. But in football, the opportunity is there. They need Kelvin Benjamin immediately in that offense. And if anything, he's going to be a great red zone threat out of the gate. So the touchdowns alone could carry his value. Another name to throw out to you is another rookie, not in that conversation with those three, but on a lot of people's radars, a lot of people are drafting him because of his side-speed combination, which is just elite. And there's a lot to like with him. Good hands, good ability going up and getting the ball. The really only question is he's got two receivers in front of him, and it's an offense that has a perceived value that they might pass a lot, but they actually run more than people think. It's more of the fact of Mr. Chip Kelly, if you know where I'm going here, and that offense is just going to be firing out plays like crazy. But Jordan Matthews, in your state, let's say standard, we'll say 12-team, because that's what we're saying for standard is 12-team leagues. That's what everybody who's listening, that's what you should be playing. Well, you should be playing 12-team, and you should be playing auction. If you haven't started playing auction, get into playing auction leagues. It's just, you don't have to sit around and get stuck at a run. You get to go after anybody you want. So much more strategy. You get to try to mess with your teammates or league mates and really, like, screw them up if they're after somebody. You know they're, like, say, a Cowboys fan, so you want to drive up the price on Terrence Williams and such like. But anyway, that being said, side note completely, 12-team leagues. Are you looking at Jordan Matthews, or are you thinking to somebody that you might just let sit on the waiver wire for a few weeks and then grab him, maybe if somebody you need to cut, like a Josh Gordon if he gets suspended or if you suffer an injury?
No, he's a guy I'll probably roll the dice on in the last few rounds. I like to take some shots in those last few rounds there. Maybe instead of drafting a kicker, I take a shot on a guy like Jordan Matthews, and then, as we get closer to the season, I make a transaction to pick up a kicker before week one. But, I think he actually compares similarly to Colston. I think he profiles as that kind of big possession receiver that Colston's been for so many years in New Orleans. I think he could be that for the Eagles. I think he actually could ascend to be their number one receiver by the end of the season. Obviously that would be a lofty jump, but he certainly has the talent to do it, and that's why he's one of those guys when you're talking about sleepers that I'm willing to take a chance on. That's got a good combination of talent, upside, and opportunity there.
Now, real quick before we get out of here for today, I'll give you. I just have one more at this point. Well, two kind of, but all right, I'll throw them back out and then you can throw it back. These are basically your deep, deep sleepers. These are guys who I'm actually in 12-team leagues. I'm getting in a handful of them, even though you probably don't even need to draft them. But it's kind of more of that fact that if you don't, somebody else might, or you might miss out on grabbing them week one when everybody thinks about it. And one's in standard leagues, actually standard and PPR, but one is more specifically just for PPR. The one that I like a lot is Robert Woods in Buffalo, who already has a connection there, some comfort level in that offense with Manuel. And like I said, Sammy Watkins is going to be drawing the defensive attention, so Woods can take another step forward this year. And he's shown that he has nice ability. Another guy out of USC that we've talked about today. And then the one that I love for PPR leagues is Dexter McCluster. And the reason I love him for PPR leagues is twofold. One, Ken Wisenhunt's there. You know Ken Wisenhunt loves to throw the ball to his running backs. They signed him to a bigger contract than most anybody thought, and obviously that's because I think that has to do with the Wisenhunt factor, and they knew what McCluster is and want to use him in that way. And the fact of in a PPR league, Dexter McCluster is guaranteed to get you pretty much 5 or 6 points a week. That he is such that's what I like about it. He has such a high floor that you can plug him in there and not worry too much whether it's a bye, whether you had an injury, or whether you have a really risky lineup, so you want to throw in one or two guys that you know you're going to get a few points from. Dexter McCluster is a great pick, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that look at, kind of for the end of my bench or a bye week type of fill-in. In the past 3 years, he's actually caught 46, 52, and 53 passes. So PPR leagues, definitely something that needs to be paid attention to. He's never really only once in his career in the 4 years he's been in Kansas City got more than 18 carries, and I think he'll see that this year. I think he'll be closer to what he was in 2011 for Kansas City, which was 114 carries. So I think he's gonna mix in the run game a little bit with Sankey and Sean Green, and I also think he's gonna be active. As a third down receiver out of the backfield, and also they might split him out, line him up in the slot, and so I think he's definitely a good bet for a guy that's going to be used enough to get you 50 balls, and maybe 300, 400 yards on the ground, but there's opportunity for more. Potentially, if there's an injury ahead of him, or if something happens where Sankey doesn't pan out, or Sean Green, isn't working out, I think there's some sleeper appeal very deep for McCluster. I also like Robert Woods. I'm a fan. You saw it. You saw the rapport with EJ Manuel when both of those guys were healthy and in the lineup. So I think that's something to keep an eye on. Obviously, Sammy Watkins going to draw attention as a superior playmaker, but Robert Woods certainly has some potential in his own right. And again, you don't have to draft him too early. Another guy that I think's in that area or in this conversation would be Aaron Dobson for the New England Patriots. On paper, I think you could say, oh, it's a crowded receiving core with Edelman and Amendola, Kenbrell Tompkins, Brandon LaFell, a lot of guys there, but Dobson's the guy I think has the most talent out of all those guys. He's a big target, can make plays downfield. I think he could be a real nice play if he starts to sync up with Tom Brady. Now he's missed some of camp, so that's obviously a concern for a second year guy. But Dobson's a name that I've been, squirreling away for the last couple rounds and kind of popping in that range and just gonna put him on my bench for the first month or two and see if he does anything.
I like that pick too, and we didn't even mention names of like Cotchery, who could be the second receiver in Carolina, Andre Holmes or James Jones, basically whoever ends up emerging from Oakland as their number one or even number two option, and Latimer if he gets a chance with the Broncos, if possibly anybody gets hurt out there, Moncrief in Indianapolis with the same. I mean, my point being, as I said at the top of the show, and you completely agree, wide receiver is really deep this year.
Absolutely, yeah. So deep. I mean, Kenny Britt, a guy who maybe is starting to turn things around. Tavon Austin, who's his teammate there. Charles Johnson from the Browns. We can go on and on. This could be a 4-hour podcast about just about wide receivers that, we've got our eye on this year.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're out for today. That was the wide receiver pretty much preview for you, and we'll have tight ends, defenses, preseason recap next week's starting on Monday with the tight ends. So we'll be back then. As always, catch me on Twitter @AllInKid for me, Jake Seeley. Catch Bobby McMahon on Twitter at HelloOnBobby. And let us know, again, as always, if there's anything you want us to specifically hit on, talk about, any Saints players or just people in general, as we roll up to the season with just about a week and a half left, or 2 weeks technically, because today is, about that time. We're about 2 weeks away. It's getting close. So until next time, we appreciate it. Have a good one.